This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
But right now, the latest news from Rome and the Vatican. Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent, and we're very international today from St. Patrick to the latest news from Rome and the Vatican because Ashley Nerona, as you know, or maybe you're just joining us for the very first time, she and her husband, John, have been in the Diocese of Bangalore, India, and that's John's home territory, and they have been conducting a Lenten retreat for the priests in the Archdiocese. We'll ask you about that, but how are you going to get home? Italy is now in lockdown again, another wave of coronavirus. What's going to happen?
John, that's a great question. You know, we don't quite know exactly how long we'll be in Bangalore, although our tickets now say April 11th that we will return, and when Rome went into lockdown, plans changed for us, but the good news is that things are open here. And so there are a lot of good things happening. Actually, there are a lot of evangelical opportunities here. John and I are going to be giving a talk on the virtues of St. Joseph on Friday at a wonderful place called the Catholic Club, which you guessed it, John, from its name. It is a recreational club just for Catholics. So we have lots of opportunity to continue evangelizing. And best of all, because we're staying longer, we get to spend more time with the family, and we'll even spend Easter with the family. And in 13 years of being married to John, this will be my first Easter with his family here in Bangalore, India. So there are a lot of silver linings of this situation.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Hey, Glenn, there's an opportunity there, a franchise opportunity here. You and I could do Catholic clubs all across the United States. We could have the accordion bar. I've got it all planned out here, I think.
I love the way you think, John.
Well, that's a pretty liberal definition of think, Ashley. But I'm glad you and John are doing well, and you'll be able to share the.
Thank you.
I know again how the Holy Spirit just picks us up by the scruff of the neck at times and surprises us by putting us in situations, and you're going to make the best of it, and also help so many in the Diocese of Bangalore. Today, the Holy Father talking about how Christians are called to safeguard God's presence, and again focusing on that relationship with the Holy Trinity.
That's right. And he said that the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Trinity, dwells in the hearts of all of the faithful. He reminded us that without the Spirit, though, there can be no relationship with Christ and with the Father, because the Spirit opens the heart to Christ's presence. He draws the hearts of the faithful right into God's heart. And in this way, God transforms his people, and he does it through the experience of the joy of being loved by God, that joy of just knowing his love. Now, he said that the Holy Spirit is what allows the faithful to invoke God, to call him Father, to call him Abba. And he said that the first gift of every Christian existence is that relationship of the Holy Spirit. So it's something that has to be safeguarded. Now, he said that's a two-way street, though. The church reminds the faithful that one must pray to the Holy Spirit as well. So encouraging all to address prayer to the Spirit every day, especially, says Pope Francis, at the beginning and end of every important act in our lives. He called the Holy Spirit an artisan of prayer. Such a nice thought. Now, he said the work of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus present in the lives of Christians in every time and place across all eternity. He said that that's because Jesus is not distant. Jesus is always present, and he educates his disciples by transforming their hearts. And the Pope today reminded all that that's not something that's only reserved for monks, all men and women who pray and who have a dialogue with God. And that's who the Holy Spirit will form according to the measure of Christ, he said, in mercy and service and in prayer. And for those who pray, he said, there's a flame of Christ that's present in their hearts. And that keeping that flame alive should be the first task of all Christians. And it's a reminder that when we walk into any church and when we see that flame burning in front of the tabernacle where the Eucharist is present, those lamps that burn should remind the faithful of God's presence that is alive inside of them as well. And he concluded today saying that the Spirit writes the story of the church, he writes the story of the world, and the faithful are the open pages for him to compose those original works on. So he said, no Christian is identical to another, and instead, Christians come together to create what he called a field of holiness. In this field, witnesses of all different kinds are allowed to flourish. He said, all are equal in dignity. And then the Pope concluded by asking for prayers, especially for peace in Myanmar. And he said, bloodshed, of course, resolves nothing, pointing out that young people are losing their lives. And he called for prayers for hope for that nation, John.
Ashley Narona with the latest news on the Pope's general weekly audience. Ashley is joining us from Bangalore, India, where she and her husband John have been conducting a Lenten retreat for the priests in the Archdiocese, and they are stuck there for the time being because perhaps you've heard in Italy and a couple of other countries in Europe, yet another wave of COVID-19 has swept over those countries, especially Italy. Tell us a little bit about this wave and the lockdown that's taking place.
Well, John, most of the country is in what we call a red zone now. So we have a tiered color system in Italy. And so that means that only essential stores are open. That means that from one household, only one person is allowed to leave at a time. They must remain within 200 meters of their home, and they must carry a form that is properly filled out that proves that they are leaving their home for what is considered a valid reason. So what has brought this on is that since February, the average number of deaths because of the virus is 300 per day. Last year at this time, the average was 750 per day. Interestingly, this weekend before the lockdown started on Monday, there was a big rush at hairdressers and barbers, especially. Everybody was going in for their last haircut before the doors closed. And then there was also a big rush at beach restaurants. People just savored the idea of going out, getting a bit of sun, walking on the sand, enjoying a fresh fish lunch before lockdown hit again. But the good news I'm happy to share with you, John, is that masses are continuing in Rome throughout this lockdown. Right now, it's set to finish after Easter, so approximately the 6th, although the government is talking about continuing it through the beginning of May, so we shall see.
How are St. Patrick's Day and St. Joseph's Day celebrated in Italy?
And you know, John, I love that despite the lockdown, the celebrations definitely continue. So first of all, in Italy, 42 different sites and monuments are participating in what's called a global greening project. And this is Ireland's annual campaign to bathe international landmarks in green lights to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So in Rome, Trajan's Column is becoming green. Also, Villa Spada, which is where the Ireland's embassy to Italy sits on the Janiculum Hill, is all green. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is green today. And then Ireland's embassy to the Holy See is hosting all kinds of online events. They're doing an event focusing on the history of the Irish in Rome. Yesterday, they held a game of bingo in Gaelic. They're having an Irish cook-along experience online. And also, they're doing a great big, they call it the St. Patrick's Day Irish-Italian quiz. So despite the circumstances, of course, the Irish find a way to celebrate. And then on Friday for St. Joseph, the Feast of St. Joseph here in this year of St. Joseph, of course, we're so grateful, again, that masses will continue. But certain special things are continuing to happen despite lockdown restrictions. So, for example, in Umbria at the cathedral, they will be exposing a very precious relic. It's the relic of a ring. They say this is the ring that Joseph would have given to his wife Mary upon their marriage. So people will be able to come in individually and venerate that precious relic. Over in Petigliano, they are not going to be able to have their annual St. Joseph's Day bonfire, John, but instead they are determined to bathe the city in 1,000 lights, and they have encouraged all of the citizens to light candles, lanterns, even the light on their phone, cell phones, whatever it is, to show that there are lots of lights of hope and of course, to venerate St. Joseph. Then In the meantime, down in Sicily, they are continuing the tradition that goes all the way back to 1400 of preparing special breads dedicated to St. Joseph, the Cene di San Giuseppe. And the breads are meant to especially commemorate the Last Supper of Jesus with the apostles. They make breads in all kinds of interesting shapes, including the dove to represent the Holy Spirit, but also the face of St. Joseph. They'll make the beard of St. Joseph and even his staff. So these loaves will be then symbolically placed on the family altars in the homes by the father of the family. And then throughout the country, a great treat. If people aren't going to be able to find it necessarily at their corner bakery, they will be making these at home. They're called the zeppole. And this is a tradition on the Feast of St. Joseph. A wonderful contrast of flavors, John. Imagine a fried pastry shell and then a thick, sweet, fragrant custard inside. And then on top, black cherries that give it just a little bit of a sweet and sour contrast. And it's said that it was the nuns at the convent of San Gregorio Armeno in Naples that actually shaped that special treat. So wow. Despite the circumstances, celebrations will continue, John.
Thanks be to God for that. Ashley Narona, our Vatican correspondent, she and her husband John have founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome, and you can learn more at truthandbeautyproject.com. Continued prayers for you and John, and the Holy Spirit guide you as you continue your Lenten mission for the priests of the Archdiocese of Bangalore in India, and we're hopeful that you can get back to Italy and this latest surge of the coronavirus is subdued. Ashley, thanks. All the best to you and John.
Thank you, John. God bless you.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.